Welcome to Make It Rain with Adam Schein on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome to Make It Rain here on VSiN. I'm Ariel Epstein filling in for Adam Schein. I know big shoes to fill today, but we've got a jam-packed hour of this show. We've got a lot of trades in the NBA. Happy NBA draft night, by the way. I can't believe that it's already here. The NBA Finals just ended, but we are going to talk with the one and only Tom Crean, former college hoops basketball coach, and the Ravens, the Yankees, those are my teams. If you followed along with me, you know that my teams are always teams that just irritate me. They always find ways to lose. It's really freaking annoying. The Yankees lost last night. The Ravens, are they going to win their division again? Are they going to break my heart again? Or is the Pittsburgh Steelers' new quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, going to steal the show in the AFC North in what he claims is his final season? We'll see. You can't really make too much money yet off the NFL, but we can make money off Major League Baseball. And tonight, we've got a big slate of games. I've got my favorite strikeout props for Major League Baseball. There are also some games that we should have been keeping a close eye on this afternoon. Afternoon baseball, there was like two games that started already today. We've got another few games coming up at 4 o'clock. Fishy line today. But before we get into everything that happened in baseball, the NBA. It's still, despite the NBA Finals happening and ending in Oklahoma City winning their first NBA title, we've got trades. Like, the NBA doesn't stop. The NBA was like, all right, enough of you guys. Enough of these, like, small market teams. We're going to talk some big markets like the Atlanta Hawks, who wanted to make a splash and go out and steal Kristaps Porzingis from the Boston Celtics. So he's going over to Atlanta. There was a lot of different parts of this trade. So the Hawks get Porzingis and a second-round pick. The Nets get Terrence Mann and a number 22 pick. The Celtics get Jordis Niang and a second-round pick. Porzingis going to Atlanta, first off, like, Clint Capela is supposed to be a big thing, and he has just completely flamed out. So at least you're getting a good defensive center like Porzingis, who also shot the three, the best he has in his career this year, just over 41%. The Celtics, this was all about freeing up some cap space because they needed flexibility. They are, like, still past the tax line, but at least they are under the second apron, which is important because if you're under the second apron, then you're not past this threshold that once it exceeds its limits, the way a team could trade differently or sign for players differently. So it all has different impacts. The Celtics needed that. Jason Tatum is going to be out most of next season with his Achilles tear. Porzingis helped Boston to that 2024 NBA title, so at least he comes with some experience. Trae Young over there in Atlanta. I love defensively now because, remember, Atlanta's defense has been the big problem. Offensively, they were putting up points. Trae Young's on that team. Obviously, Dyson Daniels looked good. Dyson Daniels, though, was a great defensive guard this season, and that's where Porzingis comes in because defensively, he's an upgrade for sure. And Zachary Risiche, the number one former pick in the draft last year in 2024. He's got a full season under his belt. So you've got experience. You've got better defense. I like this move for Atlanta a lot, a team that really needed to focus more on their defense. Another trade that we saw this week, and again, I mean, I guess we'll compare this to gambling too, because if you guys are insane enough to go and bet the futures market in the NBA right now, you would see that OKC is still favored at plus 220 to win it all, which is no surprise. Everybody is always favored after they typically win a championship. The Cavs are next at 8-1 and the Rockets plus 850, the Knicks 9-1, and then it drops off to the Magic at 12-1. That's your top five. The Celtics are still 17-1. Tatum could return towards the end of next year, so the Celtics probably are going to look to find somebody to help fill that hole for a little bit. But you still have to scroll all the way down for the Atlanta Hawks, who are at 110-1 to win the NBA title next year. Has it helped them at all to get Porzingis? We'll see. He says he's still feeling better after the postseason. Remember, he had an illness. Porzingis wasn't looking as sharp towards the end of the year. He, in the postseason, wasn't able to play as many minutes. Now Porzingis says he's going to play abroad this offseason. He'll be ready for the regular season come this fall. But the Hawks are still at 110-1, which again, everybody had the Pacers at 55-1 last year, so that didn't seem to matter. CJ McCollum also is in a trade. He got sent to the Washington Wizards. Kelly Olynyk also sent to the Wizards. And the Pelicans get Jordan Poole, Sadiq Bey, and a number 40 pick. The Pelicans are interesting. I mean, you got rid of Brandon Ingram, sent him to Toronto. Zion Williamson's like your only guy left who averages 5 or more assists, who's starting and healthy, I guess. But, like, does Zion ever stay healthy? Who knows? The Pelicans get younger with Poole and Bey, but Bey's coming off a season-ending Bey's coming off an injury that kept him out the entire last year, the torn left ACL. McCollum's great, though. Like, I'm excited for Washington to get McCollum, but again, this is a team that also has struggled defensively, one of the worst defenses in the NBA for the last few years. McCollum's going to at least help them put points on the board. McCollum averaged 21 points a game last year, 4 assists, 56 games for New Orleans. The Wizards, they're going to shift now, so they get this veteran as opposed to someone young like Jordan Poole, who we just haven't seen what we thought we were going to see from Poole. It was also the whole, like, punch in the face with Draymond situation that sent him away from Golden State, and he probably could have done well and learned a lot from Steph over there at Golden State. But now he had to go to Washington, and now he's going to New Orleans. I mean, this just seems like a mess, and I feel bad for Jordan Poole. He's getting put in all these bad situations since the Golden State situation. Going to Washington, no one's career ever does well there. You go to New Orleans, everyone seems to get hurt there. New Orleans had such a great young team for a while, and New Orleans looked really good for a bit when on paper you looked like you had CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson. It looked promising, but that was a hot mess. DeJounte Murray is also over there. So when he comes back from an Achilles tear, again, so many injuries in this situation. We'll have to wait and see, but New Orleans is all the way down there on the list. I mean, we are talking New Orleans, 270-1. You're having them in the same conversation as the Nets, the Hornets. The Jazz are at 500-1. Washington's at 500-1. The Kings, 600-1. The Suns now losing KD, 650-1. Your bottom five in the NBA when it comes to winning the title. Portland's the worst. Chicago is tied with them. Then Phoenix, Sacramento, and Washington. That's your bottom five in the NBA. Top five, like I said, OKC, Cleveland, Houston, New York, and Orlando. And remember, you've got Milwaukee at 70-1, kind of in the middle. You just don't know what's going to happen to Giannis. So what's going to happen to Giannis this year? It's a wait and see. We've got the odds to win the championship, too, with the Bucks at 60-1. They're in the same range as the Pistons. The Pacers are back to 80-1. Obviously, you're not going to have Tyrese Halliburton. The Hawks, 120-1. The Heat, 170-1. There's got to be value somewhere, though, guys. One of those teams has value. The Pistons, I know a lot of people are high on them. People see the Pistons as a similar young team to OKC, that defensively they got better. They were just young. You have a great point guard in Cade Cunningham who could put up a ton of points. The NBA is going to be fun because we're getting this, like, transition phase. Then, of course, we've got the NBA draft tonight where we're going to see Cooper Flagg go number one overall. I actually was talking to a friend of mine. His name's Mid-Major Matt. He predicted in the NBA lottery, the day of the lottery, he said, I bet you the Dallas Mavericks get the number one pick because they were nice enough to go send Luka over to the Lakers. It was great for ratings. So can the Mavericks bounce back? Is Cooper Flagg that good at the NBA level so early in his career? Tom Crean's going to answer those questions for us later on in the show. If you know me, you know that I love Major League Baseball, and you know that my entire attention is flipping to Major League Baseball for at least a month. We've got the All-Star break coming up, which means the trade deadline's coming up, which means Major League Baseball is finally hitting the point where people who don't normally care can start caring again. I care every day, especially about the Yankees, because they just find ways to irritate the hell out of me every given night. And it's not just the Yankees. I know everyone has this feeling about their team. You know that you just sometimes, you get a game and you're like, I just know my team's going to lose this one. Like, you get to the ninth inning, you know, like, it's just over. I had that feeling when the Yankees brought in Devin Williams and Luke Weaver yesterday, and they still we're going to the 11th. And, like, how do you lose a game when you've got two pitchers who just threw well and you're going to lose? So the Reds, though, the big story yesterday, now that I just completely buried the lead because I'm a Yankees homer, the Reds, they walked it off yesterday to win 5-4 on the day that Chase Burns made his first start, his major league debut. Chase Burns was one of the best pitchers in college baseball last year, flies through the minor league system. He had a strikeout prop of 4.5, went way over it yesterday. He finished with 8 Ks, gave up 3 runs, 6 hits in 5 innings. Chase Burns looked good the first time through the lineup, but then the Yankees got to him and got those 3 runs the second time through. So those were just some things. Chase Burns going to have to work through the second, third time through the order, but he looked pretty good yesterday. And it's good for bettors to know that he went over his strikeout prop. Chase Burns, the real deal, I'll tell you that. The Yankees, not so much. Detroit Tigers, real deal. And I'm just saying this about the Yankees because they're freaking annoying. But they'll be in the playoffs. Tigers, first team to reach 50 wins this year. I'm super pumped because I came on not only this show with Adam Schein on Make It Rain, I also came on and hosted some shows giving out my preseason bets, and my favorite play was the Tigers to win the division. So I'm feeling pretty good about the Tigers to win the Central right now. If you want to bet smarter this football season, VSiN Pro can help you start strong. Our new NFL betting guide comes out on Tuesday, July 1st, and early access means a better shot at spotting value in futures markets before the lines even move. Now, this is the perfect time to join our football special. Just $175 for full VSiN Pro access from today through the Super Bowl. That's every sport we cover every day at a special early bird price. The sooner you sign up, the more you get out of it.
You're watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to VSiN's Make It Rain. I'm the prop queen, Ariel Epstein. If you want to bet smarter this football season, VSiN Pro can definitely help you out with that. Our new NFL betting guide comes out on Tuesday, July 1st. And early access means a better shot at spotting value in futures markets before the lines even move. So now it's the perfect time to join with our football special. It's $175 for full VSiN Pro access from today through the Super Bowl. That's every single sport we cover every day at such an early bird price. The sooner you sign up, the more you get out of it. So you'll be the first in line for our NFL betting guide, your playbook for the season packed with team previews, power ratings, and season-long best bets. Plus, you're going to get a daily best bet email from our expert hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, full access to VSiN.com's analytics, tools, and pro systems. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe now and lock in the football special for just $175. That's VSiN, VSIN.com/subscribe. Speaking of football season, the Pittsburgh Steelers have a new quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is going to be joining the Steelers. And how much did it really impact any of the lines in the futures market? Not at all. I asked a bunch of different odds makers. They said it was already baked into the line that Rodgers was going to Pittsburgh. I said, well, people were saying maybe there was a chance he wasn't. And the book never bites. They said, nah, we knew that Pittsburgh was going to be the location. So here are the win totals for the Pittsburgh Steelers. 8.5 wins. Shocker, because you've never seen Mike Tomlin, their head coach, go under 500 in his career. So you're basically wondering, is Aaron Rodgers going to be the first or nah? Make the playoffs plus 130, decent value. Miss the playoffs minus 160. Division odds plus 550. 19-1 to win the conference and 35-1 to win the Super Bowl. If you think I am insane enough to bet any of this when it comes to division, conference, or Super Bowl, I am for sure not. The win total is always interesting for Pittsburgh because they do have a solid defense. They do have a great head coach in Mike Tomlin. But I just don't trust Aaron Rodgers. Can he stay healthy? I mean, we saw that he did last year. So the Steelers, just looking at the depth chart, to start the season, you've got a running back in Jaylen Warren, which the Steelers' run game, it was always tough for them to get going, but he's pass-catching back fine. DK Metcalf comes over, Robert Woods, Calvin Austin, Pratt Freiermuth. I mean, outside of DK Metcalf, sure, Robert Woods is a deep threat, but I don't really trust anybody of this receiving core. TJ Watt, obviously on defense, and Patrick Queen are great linebacking core. You've got a decent, a pretty good secondary with Joey Porter, Minkah Fitzpatrick, Deshaun Elliott, Darius Slay. So I'm scared of the Steelers' defense. And I know the AFC North very well. I've been covering the AFC North for years. I'm a diehard Ravens fan. The Ravens are rightfully so the favorites to win the division. They're minus 145, the Bengals plus 230, and the Steelers 5-1. The Bengals' defense sucks. It is so bad. So the Steelers' defense I give the leg up on, which is why for such a tough division, I would say over on the Steelers' win total, which I did like last year as well. But the Bengals, their win total is 9.5. And I just can't get there on a team that I know has a lot to prove. But in a division like the AFC North, you need to have a good defense. And the Bengals' defense just isn't it. They have always struggled. They've struggled recently. I mean, Thanksgiving between the Ravens and the Bengals is probably going to be an absolute blowout. The Bengals' defense right now, I mean, their secondary is terrible. You could get a ton of deep balls on this secondary. So the Bengals, minus 160 to make the playoffs, fine. Plus 130 to miss it. I wouldn't bet that. Division odds, plus 230. Conference, plus 950. Super Bowl, I can't see our graphic, sorry. 20-1? Yeah, 20-1. It was cut off. Obviously, the Bengals have a lot to prove with Joe Burrow under center after a tough year last year, and he was coming off injury from two seasons ago. Their run game concerns me, so they seem pretty one-dimensional right now. Chase Brown at running back and Zach Moss behind him, Samaje Perine. I don't really love that running back room. And the offensive line's always been the problem for the Bengals, which is why Joe Burrow got banged up. I love their receiving core. Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins are absolute monsters. Mike Gesicki at tight end could be pretty good. But again, this is a team that's going to have to beat you by going and, like, by scoring a ton of points. And I just can't bet. I only bet on teams that are good defensively. But okay, we're going to go back. I know I just touched on the Bengals a little bit, but I want to go back to Aaron Rodgers. I know that everyone's going to talk about Rodgers, and we're probably sounding right now like a broken record, but he's got props up, and I love my props. His passing yards prop is 3,250.5 passing yards, Aaron Rodgers. And I remember looking at his splits from the past few years. Rodgers last year for the Jets, and mind you, he played 17 games. He threw for 3,897 yards. So if he threw for over 3,800 and now they lowered this down to like 3,200 with the Steelers, he's got a bit better of a receiving core. So you feel like this is kind of low, but the under is minus 115. You have to be banking on Aaron Rodgers not getting hurt for a second straight year. And I know he said that it's potentially his last season. So is this like the last hurrah? He's just going to throw the ball a ton. I don't mind the Rodgers over as long as you're okay with kind of balancing out the potential for him to get hurt. But you know Rodgers is going to be staying in games. I mean, just looking at the Steelers, their backup right now, Mason Rudolph. Like, you know that Mike Tomlin doesn't want to throw Mason Rudolph in the game. So as long as Aaron Rodgers can get out onto the field, it wouldn't surprise me if Rodgers goes out there for 17 games, he knows it's his last hurrah, and he goes over. But where Rodgers is going to have issues, and this is why I don't mind the over, because he's going to make it to week 17. That's where things, or excuse me, week 14, because that's where things get interesting. Week 14, well, so week 13 is when the Steelers play Buffalo at home in Pittsburgh. But then week 14, the Steelers have to go on the road to Baltimore. So they have to play the Bills and the Ravens in back-to-back weeks. Then they get Miami at home. But then they have to go on the road to Detroit, on the road to Cleveland, and then they finish the season, the Steelers, with Baltimore. So if you want to talk about back-to-back weeks of physicality, Aaron Rodgers has to go back-to-back weeks to Buffalo, or excuse me, home at Buffalo, and then on the road to Baltimore in the first week of December. If Aaron Rodgers makes it out of week 14 alive, that would be incredible. at least without an injury. So, like, here's the thing. At least the rest of the early part of the season, you've got the Jets, you've got the Seahawks, the Pats, the Vikings. You play Cleveland and Cincinnati back-to-back weeks, but that's after a bye. Then it's the return game to Green Bay in week 8. So the early part of the season doesn't seem horrific for Rodgers, like, especially when it comes to getting murdered. But having to go to – having to face Buffalo and Baltimore, then Detroit within a span of 3 and 4 weeks – is where I am worried about Aaron Rodgers and his health. So if you feel like Aaron Rodgers could throw the football a ton early in the year, I don't mind this from a numbers perspective, knowing that Aaron Rodgers in his final season in Green Bay, I mean, aside for the obviously 2023 where he was out with his season-long injury, Aaron Rodgers has gone over 3,250 passing yards in 6 straight seasons that he's been active. Now it makes you wonder, is that too low? Again, I think that Aaron Rodgers could get close. I think he can get there. It's just a matter of if he gets hurt in that span of week 13 and 14. That's where my main concern is for Aaron Rodgers coming up. And I know that we do have some other NFL futures we could get to later in the show, but we do also have time running out of this segment and time's running out. Please enter to win a free entry into the Circa Survivor or Circa Million contest proxy service included with $21 million in guaranteed prizes that are up for grabs. The deadline to enter is tonight at just under midnight. So 11:59 p.m. Eastern time is the deadline to enter. Winners will be announced live this Friday on a numbers game with Gil Alexander, and they'll get exclusive strategy access to Gil all season long. Go to winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN to enter now. That's winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. Coming up, we're going to talk NBA draft because the NBA draft is tonight, and we are going to be joined by former college basketball coach, Big Ten Coach of the Year, Tom Crean. You also could find him on NBA Radio Channel 86. But we are going to talk to him about all things NBA draft tonight. Cooper Flagg, is he really that ready to go to number one overall and make such a difference with the Dallas Mavericks? Are there other sleeper players that maybe we could get some action on if you can bet the NBA draft tonight? A ton of things to get to with Tom Crean coming up next here on Make It Rain here on VSiN Live. Stay here.
You're watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're back here on Make It Rain, here on VSiN. I am the prop queen, Ariel Epstein. It is a big night in the NBA because why haven't we said that the entire last few weeks of the year? Because we've got the NBA draft. It's out in Barclays in Brooklyn starting 8 p.m. Eastern time. And here on VSiN, we only bring on the best of the best, the people that know what the hell they are looking for and talking about. And that is exactly who is coming on next because he knows how to spot talent. Former college basketball coach, Marquette, Indiana, Georgia, Final Four, Big Ten champions, Big Ten coach of the year, Mr. Tom Crean joining the show. How are you doing today?
I'm great. I appreciate that intro. It makes my day. That's great.
Hey, listen, you're out there on the floor. You're at Barclays. We're very excited to get all your insights because here on VSiN, people like to get a little action down when they can bet the NBA draft. And I know people could hear you over on SiriusXM's NBA radio, but we've got a huge draft ahead with Cooper Flagg. I mean, pretty much solidified going number one to the Dallas Mavericks. First off, how surprised were you after the Luka trade that all of a sudden Dallas gets number one in the lottery?
Well, was definitely surprised, but in full disclosure, my son is on the coaching staff there, and so I was really excited for him. He's starting his fourth year with the Mavericks, so when that came about, I felt good for the Mavericks, felt even better for him. And I think Cooper Flagg is going to end up, you know, watching how that program has unfolded, watching my son be in there for 3 years. I think that program is in a really good place. Obviously, they took a a lot of public hits on the Luka trade, and maybe it wouldn't have been that way if Anthony Davis didn't get hurt inside the first game. But I think this is a great fit for Cooper Flagg. I think they're a great fit for him. It's a really good place to live, and I think he's as ready as anybody in this draft to step in and be able to be a really solid contributor. He doesn't have to be great right away, but he's got to be solid, and he's got to be able to impact winning, and I think he'll do that.
What is it about Cooper Flagg that makes him so NBA ready?
Well, I think there's a maturity. You know, he's young. I mean, he's 18 and didn't turn that to during the season. You can see the maturity. He's got like just an aura around him. Like he raises people's energy levels. He plays hard. He's active. He doesn't ever seem to me to play in a way that would make the attention shift to him. Like he's shooting too many shots or not playing as hard on defense. Like every time I've seen him play, going back to high school, seeing games this year, obviously, I covered the Carolina at Duke game for Westwood One, so I got to see him practice. Like I thought his walkthrough was tremendous, like locked in, and then all of a sudden you find out that he'd been sick and that day, and you would have never known. That's hard for an 18-year-old. But I think the body, the shoulders that he has, he's got good length, he's got really good quickness. He can pass the ball. He's become a much better shooter, and he will stick his nose in there every time. And I think that's how you get on the floor early in the NBA.
It's crazy when you look at the odds and you can see that Cooper Flagg is minus 10,000 to go first overall. Then you've got Dylan Harper at minus 10,000 to go second overall out of Rutgers. What is it about Dylan Harper that makes him second best in this draft?
Well, I think it's he's got great positional size, you know, for a point guard. It makes a lot of sense for San Antonio with the other guards that they have inside of that team, especially with Steph Castle and his size. But he can make shots. He can get downhill. He's very aggressive defensively. I think he'll get better there. He can get anywhere he really wants to go with his left hand. And he can get in the paint. He can get to the rim. He can get the pull-up. He's got the step back. I think he's become a better three-point shooter. But he's just he has all the competitiveness and the basketball instincts that you need at that age, and I think he's going to get a lot better because I think his shooting range is going to increase. He's going to have to get better with his right hand, and believe it or not, he gets a lot of credit for being a really good passer. I think he can get even better, and I think once he gets into NBA-style offenses with the ball screens, he's going to show that.
The Spurs are a really fun young team, and Tom Crean, former college basketball coach, joining us on the show. The Spurs, they got De'Aaron Fox, but then unfortunately Victor Wembanyama goes down with his season-ending injury. However, if Wemby does make his comeback, Fox is out there, you have a top draft pick. How are you going to see Harper impact the Spurs team?
Well, I think it's going to be important that he comes in and just impacts winning, even if he doesn't have the ball, because you have De'Aaron Fox. Certainly you have Steph Castle, who did a great job last year, rookie of the year. There's some similarities in size to those two, where Harper's probably a better shooter coming in. But I think it just gives you so many different ways to play defensively, you know, with the size of a Harper, with the size of a Castle. They can do a lot of mixing and matching. They can play opposite of each other on the court at the same time, which I think is going to be big. And I think that 14th pick is going to be good for them too. Like, I'd be shocked if they kept that pick and Johan Berenguy is still sitting there at 14 from France. I could see that easily being their pick at 14. And there's a guy that so he may go higher. I don't think he's going to go much lower, but he's only been playing basketball for 4 years. He's over 7 foot. He's 18 years of age. He's long, he's athletic, he's active, he's got a long way to go with his shooting and maybe even his offense. But when it comes to rebounding, defending, being a lob threat, I think that's the kind of guy that could help Wemby. And by mid-year is giving Wemby somebody else that can play in the post.
Hey, I would love to see it for the Spurs because I was really let down when Wemby went down with his injury. They were a ton of fun to watch, but they got that pick from Atlanta for the 14th pick, the Spurs. Atlanta is thinking of trading up to the 3 spot. I saw some reports that they're interested in potentially trading with the 76ers. How much could you see that happening, Tom?
Oh, I could see anything happen. I think 3 could be up for grabs. I think 5 could be up for grabs, and really anything past that. And who knows what Charlotte's going to do. I have to believe that Philadelphia either knows what they're going to do and they don't need to make a trade, or they're still trying to get some value out of that pick in case somebody wanted a VJ Edgecombe or a Ace Bailey. But I think it's going to be an interesting night. I really do. I think there's going to be movement. I think you'll see some picks moving. You never know. There could be blockbusters tonight. So there's definitely a lot of scuttlebutt and talk, and you know, obviously the Celtics aren't done yet. I saw the same thing you saw with Paul George being in that rumor. Yesterday was a good precursor to what I think today will be, and certainly started with the Durant trade.
Yeah, it's crazy to see Porzingis, Durant, and then we were hearing there's not a lot of players available this summer, so wait for 2026, but yet it seems anybody could be going in this draft. And I want to bring you back to the Big Ten. It's where you had some really great years. We've seen Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey as well out of Rutgers. Ace Bailey, he's viewed as third best prospect in this draft. His camp's trying to get him a preferred destination, so nobody really knows where he's going to land in the top 10. Where's his best fit?
You know what? In this group, I don't know if there is a best fit for him. I really don't. Now, he's going to go high, and I think the smart play is to pick him because, you know, Cooper Flagg is going to be a real star. Dylan Harper's got that potential. There's others, VJ Edgecombe maybe, but a lot of these guys in this draft, I think it's a very deep 8 to 10 year NBA career type of draft. But I'm not sure there's those bona fide just going to break out and be stars. I think Carter Bryant, who left Arizona after 1 year, could be that. Well, with that being said, Ace Bailey is one of those guys. Like, there's some risk, but the reward could be with that offensive ability and his ability to shoot if he gets to the right place, and that's going to be key. And so I really don't know what that fit is. I think people believe it's going to be Washington falling to six. We'll see if that actually happens. But he's got to get somewhere where he really buys into the fact that this is going to be a process, and the next 1.5 to 2 years are going to be huge for the future of his game.
Tom Crean, before I let you go, in about 30 seconds, what is your biggest surprise, wild card, crazy take that could happen tonight in the NBA draft?
Carter Bryant in the top 10 from Arizona. I think that one's a big one to me. I really do. I think people are potentially trying to move up to get him. I think he's impressed a lot of people in his pre-draft workouts. He's going to be a tremendous shooter. He's got as quick a hands as anybody in this draft, and I think he's on the verge. He could be an all-defensive team player as early as anybody in this draft outside of Cooper Flagg.
Tom Crean, make sure to hear him on SiriusXM NBA Radio's draft coverage all week long from 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Justin Termini, Eddie Johnson, NBA Radio, Channel 86. Tom, thank you so much for coming on with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. Enjoy the night.
You too, Tom. Have fun tonight. Before the lines move, the Sharp Plays at SharpPlays.com is already there. They don't chase the market, they move it. You are not going to outmuscle billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time professional bettors on your own, but with the Sharp Plays, you don't have to. Powered by cutting-edge AI and trusted insider sources, the Sharp Plays delivers the edge that serious bettors rely on. You'll get free betting reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights all delivered right to you via email. It's not overnight, so make sure to sign up for Sharp Plays. We'll be right back here on VSiN.
You're watching Make It Rain on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final segment, Make It Rain here on VSiN. I'm the prop queen, Ariel Epstein, filling in for the great Adam Schein. If you missed it, I am so sorry. We just had such a great interview with former college basketball coach Tom Crean. He's at Barclays for the NBA draft tonight, which is at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Then maybe in a few days we could stop talking about the NBA for a little bit. It just feels like it's been NBA, NBA, NBA. I'm going to talk Major League Baseball right now. Major League Baseball had a few really good pitchers on the mound today. Zach Allen, the Diamondbacks ace, was on the mound, and they were favored at minus 142. However, the D-backs are currently losing 4-2. Gallen's just had an off year. He He's allowed 4 runs, 7 hits in 5 innings. He's at 79 pitches. 4-2 Chicago White Sox right now, who are around plus 120. Gallen did, he's still under his strikeout prop at 5.5. He's had 2 strikeouts. Burke, who started, Sean Burke, who started for the White Sox, he went over his strikeout prop. 4.5 Ks was his prop, and in 5 innings, he had 7. Arizona's not really a high K rate team, so it's pretty impressive for Burke, who's having a really good year right now for the White Sox, one of their more reliable pitchers. The more surprising one, which wasn't actually a surprise to me, and I was saying this to our producer, Michael, before the show. I said, I need to talk about the Pirates and the Brewers. The Brewers are up 4-0 over the Pirates, and it is Paul Skeens' day. Skeens pulled at 78 pitches. He only went 4 innings, giving up 4 earned runs. It might have been his worst start of the year. I'm going to double check that. Day game, on the road. This season, nope, he gave up 5 to St. Louis, his third start of the year on April 8th. But since then, Skeens hasn't allowed more than 3 runs, and that was once. Most of the time, Skeens allows a max of 2 runs in a game. But now he allowed 2 runs on the road to Detroit, and he just allowed 4 runs in this spot to Milwaukee. But if you do what I do, and you track what I call a fishy line, which is reverse line movement, where the line moves against the public side, you would have known that something was very fishy about the Pirates today. Last night I snapshotted the lines for the Pirates. It was minus 124. This morning I woke up, the line was minus 108. It wasn't that much of a public side, which was kind of surprising. Maybe the public didn't realize that this game was on in the afternoon. Only 50% of bets and 36% of money was on Pittsburgh. So the money, though, was on Milwaukee today. 65% of money was coming in on the Brewers. The line moved plus 106 to minus 108 on Milwaukee. So if you were paying attention to the line movement and you pay attention to, like we have on our VSiN platforms, if you look on the VSiN website, you could see that DraftKings and Circa, the splits are up. The DraftKings splits tell you that the money was all on Milwaukee today. And right now they are leading 4-0, the Brewers, over the Pirates. We are in the going into the top of the 7th inning. And if you want to talk bullpens, the bullpens are definitely not where I'd be looking at for the Pittsburgh Pirates. But on the PropQueen.com newsletter, I did mention this morning that there was a Pittsburgh Pirates fishy line. And I said that the under was also intriguing on my newsletter this morning. Because the under, you've got the Pittsburgh Pirates, who average the third least runs per game on the road. The Brewers actually average 2 less runs per game at home. The Brewers are averaging the 4th least runs per game at home this year. You would have known that maybe the under was a good play. You wonder in those situations, is it just because the Pirates don't give Skeens run support? I was looking at all the games. Remember, like, if you're a baseball person, you'll remember back when DeGrom was on the Mets never gave DeGrom run support. I was looking at all these games. The Pirates with Skeens on the mound, they've given up in 3 of Skeens' last 4 starts. The Pirates have given up in 3 of Skeens' last 4 starts. The Pirates put up a maximum of 2 runs. So if you're going to score just 2 runs with your best pitcher on the mound, that's a tall task for a pitcher in his second year in Major Leagues. It's a tall task for anybody, even a veteran pitcher. So poor Paul Skeens finally is giving up some runs because his team can't score any, and still, it is 4-0 Brewers. The Pirates have not scored 1 run with Skeens on the mound today. I'm telling you, this is something I'm just going to continue to bet. I did it a few years ago in DeGrom's last healthy season with the Mets. I'm going to do it now with Skeens. I am betting the Pittsburgh Pirates team total unders in every Skeens start. It's the only way you can play them. They don't score. They're one of the lowest scoring teams in baseball, especially on the road. Skeens, they definitely don't score. I'll take it. Team total under on the Pirates every time Skeens on the mound. Forget the Skeens strikeout prop. It is always way too high. He's going to go. Right now, Skeens is at 4 strikeouts against the Brewers. The strikeout prop was 7.5. It's too high. You're paying a premium. The under was minus 166. Brewers, they strike out a little above average. Now that you can't really make money off that game, let's talk about what you can make money off of. And today, that's strikeout props. If you don't follow me, you know that the Prop Queen name came from strikeout props. I absolutely love this market. I have the strikeout prop spreadsheet that you could download on the propqueen.com on the newsletter. You could download the strikeout prop spreadsheet, which tells you pretty much all the leans and edges and how to find. Most of these websites don't tell you what starting pitchers average, like per lineup. You'll get like Ks per nine. But I like looking at lefty-righty splits for starting pitchers and how they do against each lineup in baseball. I have it all tracked. Let's start with the 4:07 game coming up in a little bit. 4:07 p.m. Eastern time, you've got the Red Sox and the Angels. Richard Fitz is on the mound for the Red Sox, and his 3.5 strikeout prop feels very low against the Angels. So I would look at the over 3.5. I saw this around -115 range this morning. So the Angels are one of the highest strikeout rate teams in baseball, and Fitz hasn't seen a high K rate lineup yet this year. In 5 appearances this season, Fitz went over 3.5 Ks in 3 of 5 starts, despite not even being against strikeout prone lineups. The Angels average just under 6 strikeouts per game against righty starters, with 8 of the last 10 going over 3.5 Ks. This number just feels very low for facing the Angels. Richard Fitz over 3.5 Ks. Cincinnati's righty Brady Singer over 4.5 Ks for him at -145. Singer's faced just one high K rate team. He had 8 punchouts in 6 innings against the Marlins. Righties are averaging just over 5 strikeouts a start against the Yankees, with 7 of the last 10 going over against New York. With Singer at home, after since he used 5 relievers yesterday after Chase Burns got his start, his major league debut, they had to bring in 5 relievers after him. So the Reds are probably going to want to keep Brady Singer in the game as long as possible. And the Yankees do strike out. That game's at 7:10 p.m. Eastern time. Brady Singer over 4.5 Ks. I'm saving my best bet for last. So let's go to Kansas City's right-hander, Michael Wacha, under 4.5 Ks. This one around -146. The Royals are hosting the Rays, 7:40 p.m. Eastern time. Wacha has gone under 4.5 strikeouts in 2 of 3 starts versus low K-rate lineups. Minnesota, he had 4. St. Louis, he had 6, but Minnesota, he had 1. Righties, 34 unders, 20 overs for their K-props, averaging just over 4 strikeouts a game against the Rays. 7 of the last 10 righties to face Tampa went under 4.5 strikeouts. And then there's the lefty for the Cubs, Matthew Boyd, over 4.5 Ks. This game, 7:45 p.m. Eastern time. Cubs lefty Matthew Boyd has gone over 4.5 strikeouts in 6 of 8 starts against high K-rate teams. It's a pretty big sample size. He's had 6 also last year against St. Louis. 16 overs and 8 unders against the Cards, averaging just over 5 strikeouts a game against St. Louis if you were to face some. So now I've got my best bet of the day, and it's a strikeout prop that I really, really like. But first, we've got to talk about GBank, because GBank is where our best bets are brought to you by. Introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank. First bet and VSIN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit a play through $1,000 at first bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. First bank will give you $100 deposit match. VSIN completes the trifecta with a free VSIN Pro subscription through October 31st at $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSIN. Head to VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. So, my best bet. Here it is. George Kirby under 5.5 Ks. He's going up against the Twins, who average a very low amount of 4 strikeouts to start for righty starters. 67% of righties have gone under their strikeout prop when facing the Twins. Thanks for joining me here on VSIN's Make It Rain. Thank you to Adam Schein for letting me fill in. Thank you to everybody behind the scenes for helping this show, and Tom Green for joining us for NBA draft analysis. Tune in to VSIN Live all day, every day. See you next time.